All right, check one. Let me call you in here, man. We got to get going. It's time. It says 10:45 on all of my devices. All right, online folks, good to have you with us today. And as people begin trickling in, we've got a couple of birthdays for you. I guess the one announcement we want to announce, we've got men's and ladies Bible study. That's tomorrow night over in the Sunday School building, 7 p.m. Next door, men's and women's. Bible study starting at 7. That's tomorrow evening. And then we got our chili cook-off. When's chili cook-off? February 24th, chili cook-off. Start dusting off your chili cooking recipe. Start practicing up, especially if you're going to do the seafood chili. You want to get that practiced up. Whatever. I'm still, nobody has brought, and I've been waiting for it for years, nobody has brought the roadkill chili. I've not seen that one yet. And nobody's brought the Nutria chili. What's wrong with that little Nutria? You can't throw it in. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Well, what do you say? Wolf brand. Yeah. Somebody's going to go get an industrial or what do they call it? Institutional size Wolf brand and bring it. All right. Very good. All right, we've got a couple birthdays for you. One of my kids, Olivia Lee, January the 19th. So Olivia will be 19 on the 19th. So, wow, she's growing up, man. Had birthday dinner with her, a couple nights ago? Thursday night. And I had where'd we go? We went to Shake Shack because that's what she wanted for her birthday. And my first Shake Shack. Have you ever had a Shake Shack burger?
No, not yet.
First Shake Shack burger, and I have to admit, I'll be back. It was really good. Olivia Lee, the 19th. And then Miss Virginia. All right, Miss Virginia, on the 20th. All right, don't forget, Kenneth. Not going to forget. How many days out are we? Oh, that's 5 days. Amen. Y'all got big birthday plans? Not really. How old are we going to be? 84. All right, way to go, Miss Virginia, on the 20th. Outstanding. Any other birthdays we might have missed? Anybody else? Any birthdays? All right, very good. Let's sing them some happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to sing More Precious Than Silver. above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come here today to praise your holy name, lift you up on high. We thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. And we just ask you to be with each and every one of us, guide us and direct us in the path we should go. We ask you to be with our pastor this morning as he brings the message, put the word on his heart, let the Holy Spirit just flow through this church and touch every one of us. Lord, that we might take this word outside the doors, Lord, and share it with others. Lord, we pray if we have any visitors today, we just thank you for them, Lord. And we just ask you to be with the ones that are sick and are not to be able to come today and are ailing, Lord, with the COVID or anything other than that. Lord, we just lift them up to you. Our shut-ins, Lord, we just we do thank you for the online service where they can watch it and be with us today. We're thinking about them, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you for what you've given us, God. You give us so much, Lord, and we just give you just a small portion back. It all belongs to you. It's all about you, Lord, and we just thank you for what you give us. And, Lord, we just ask you to bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Amen.
Going today, Children's Church? All right, I think so. Booyah. You got one for it anyway. He's for and excited, Children's Church. Amen. All right, all right. Where's Ace? I don't know. Good luck. Keep up. They've done taking off on you. All right, all right. Well, amen for the rest of you visiting with us. I don't see visitors today. I think all home folk today. All right. Those of you with us online, I think I've already welcomed you. You do have a copy of God's Word. Let's take and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Today is a beautiful day. Amen. Gorgeous outside, so we want to get you into some of that beautiful weather. Chamber of Commerce weather today, going to be 72 degrees. 72. Matthew chapter 24, I invite you to stand and honor the reading of the inerrant Word of God. We'll pick it up here in verse 32 and take it through verse 35. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 32, and we'll read through verse 35 together here. You found that this morning, would you say amen? Amen. Back in our series of messages, I promised you we would. Here we are. Back in our series of messages on the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning in verse 32, the Word of God reads this, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Do you believe that? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that we have before us today. And Lord, as we try to wrap our heads around your second coming and the fact that we are closer than ever before, Lord, I pray we would not doom and gloom it, but Lord, I pray that we would have a positive outlook that any day you could rapture us home. Lord, we look at the world around us and there's so much going on. We look at our own nation and there's so much wrong with it. But Lord, what's right is that we have the gospel. And what's right, we have the truth. And what's right, we're saved today. So we praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that at the end of this service, they would receive Jesus. They would, by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, walk this aisle to receive Christ this very day. Perhaps somebody watching us online, Lord, their heart is pricked, the Holy Spirit convicts them, and where they're at as they're watching this, they get on a knee, get on both knees, and they pray to Jesus to forgive them of their sins and enter into their heart and save them. So, Lord, we lift that up to you today. Thank you that we can be together. Thank you that we can sing these praises, and thank you that we can be in your word. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, in order to understand the context of this parable of the fig tree, it's important to understand what Jesus is addressing. So we read verses 32 through 35. I'll invite you to back up to Matthew chapter 24, looking at verse 21 and following. It says here, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. It's been a while since we've been in this. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. Does that frighten you, what's going on in the world? Wars and rumors of wars? For nation will rise against nation, China, Russia, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Well, we're dealing with that, aren't we? But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Now, I don't mind you writing in your Bible if you like writing in your Bible. Amen? I don't mind you writing in it. After verse 8, you can put rapture asterisk, because now we're in the tribulation, right? What are you doing, preacher? I'm reading a summary of the book of Revelation in chapter 24 of the Gospel of Matthew. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. He will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. You're going to have the two witnesses preaching. You're going to have the 144,000 preaching. You're going to have the angel in mid-heaven as the earth rotates around its axis, I guess, screaming or digitally communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a lot of gospel going on during the tribulation. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, that's 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, that's when the Antichrist is going to go into the temple and say, time out, you guys are going to start worshiping me. That's the abomination of desolation in the holy place. let the reader understand. A Jewish temple will be built during the tribulation. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever's in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation. And that's what that second 3.5 years of the tribulation is, a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the beginning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is there, the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky in power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Which brings us now to the parable of the fig tree, which we stood and read together. Now, I tell you all of that, reading what we read and standing and reading what we read, I tell you all of that, and I approach it this way. Some people are looking at the woeful world conditions around us and think that we must surely be approaching the end of the world. But what I would want to communicate to them, what we are approaching is the rapture of the church. And that's going to be followed by 7 years of tribulation. And then the battle of Armageddon, and Christ is going to return. The issue is that if we're not careful, we will get sucked into continual gloom and doom thinking instead of an expectant awaiting as we faithfully serve the Lord. We've got to serve the Lord faithfully. Some would say, preacher, we just need to return. I look around at the world and preacher, we just need to get back to preacher. We need to get on back to those good old days. They would say this world's in chaos. But friend, I've studied history and I've lived enough to know that my encouragement to you is this. You cannot go back. I'd love to go back to about 35. But you can't get back there. There ain't no way back. You can only go forward. And let me tell you something about this old world that you've been born into. This world that you're living in. This world that you're either going to be raptured out of, or your life's going to end and you're going to be put in the ground or cremated or however you want it. Let me tell you something. This world has always been in chaos. Always. In an article that appeared in Harper's Weekly magazine in October of 1857, this was said. 1857. It's a gloomy moment in the history of our country, talking about the United States. Not in the lifetime of most men has there been so much grave and deep apprehension. Never has the future seemed so unpredictable as at this time. This is 1857. The domestic economic situation is in chaos. Our dollar is weak throughout the world. Prices are so high as to be utterly impossible. Amazing how history repeats itself. The political cauldron seethes and bubbles with uncertainty. It is a solemn moment of our troubles. The point, friend, that I'm trying to drive home today by the Word of God is that you may want to keep your peripheral vision, right? Your peripheral vision on the chaotic world around you. But as a Christian, as somebody saved, as somebody blood-bought, your focused gaze should be upon Christ and His Word. And the question is why? Because there have always been times when world conditions seemed ideal for the return of Christ. Well, preacher, fair enough, but how close are we to Jesus, rapture of His church, and the events that will lead to His second coming? I'm so glad you asked. While there is no way to name a specific date, Jesus did give some clues for the general time when we should be looking for His return. And I want to take you through this morning as we examine some signs that we cannot ignore. And for those of you in your 80s, for those of you in your 70s, for those of you in your 60s, you are living in some prophetic fulfillment time. And those of us even younger, we're going to get to see some things as well. Sign number one, the fig tree. What is the fig tree here? The fig tree, which is Israel, the nation. The fig tree has sprouted leaves, my friends. Since when? Since May 15th, 1948. Amen? Look at verse 32 with me. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Jesus was saying that while we cannot know the exact day that He will return, we can generally calculate the season of time when He will return. You believe that? Ron does. Anybody else? All right, that's a handful of folks. When the Bible uses the word summer, the summer in my translation, probably summer in yours, the emphasis is not about a particular season, but Jesus is speaking metaphorically there as a general period of time. Now, if we go back and we could take several weeks of sermons in the Old Testament. We could go back and study it for weeks and weeks, months and months on end. In the Old Testament, Israel is symbolized by a fig tree. Over and over again in Old Testament scripture. The fig tree was cut off at the root. But we have lived in a period of time, some of you have lived more than me, you've lived in this period of time, when the leaves started growing again. When the nation of Israel was destroyed in 70 AD, the Jewish people were scattered all over the nations of the earth. But in the early 1900s, a few brave Jews returned to the Holy Land. Now, these few first brave Jews, they had to live in fenced communal camps for their own protection. I mean, it was tenuous. It was dangerous. But there were a few of them that said, "We're going back home." Then on May 15th, 1948, the fig tree sprouted leaves because on that day, the United Nations chartered Israel as a nation. Now, there are many Old Testament prophecies that speak of Israel returning to resettle their homeland. And some people say, preacher, you got it wrong. These Old Testament scriptures refer to Israel's return from Babylon exile in 500 BC and what Jesus is talking about. He's referring to that. But they did return and resettle for a few more centuries. That is correct. But then they were displaced again. And Jesus is talking about after that. See, there's a powerful promise concerning Israel that can only apply to modern Israel. The promise is found where? My eschatology nuts out there, where's it found? No, but a good guess. No, but a good guess. All right, well, he tried, amen. No, at least Brother Jeremiah, he's brave enough to get out there. Huh? Amen. Amos chapter 9, verse 15. Amos 9:15, the Word of God says, I will also plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I have given them, says the Lord your God. I will also plant them on their land, and they will not again, that's the key phrase, They will not again be rooted out from their land, which I have given them, says the Lord your God. God said through his prophet Amos, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God said thousands of years ago, during the end times, there would be a nation of Israel, and they would play a prominent role in world events. Somebody say amen. Because the second sign we can't ignore is this. The first sign, the fig tree Israel, has sprouted leaves since May 15th, 1948. The second sign that Jesus is coming back to rapture his church and then coming back for his second advent is that this generation there in your Bible, this generation, meaning Jewish people, they have survived and occupied Jerusalem since June 7th, 1967. Since June 7th, 1967. Some of them began coming back in the early 40s. But friend, they got it on June 7th, 1967. And that was a good year, 1967. Your pastor was born in 67. Amen. That's good vintage, right? Good vintage. Verse 34. Let's look at it together. 24, 34, you with me? Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Well, preacher, what generation was Jesus talking about? Well, some say that he was referring to the generation of people alive when he spoke these words over 2,000 plus years ago. And indeed, Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed before the generation died off. I'll give you that. But Jesus said, until all these things take place. Jesus, my friend, made more predictions in Matthew 24 beside the destruction of Jerusalem. Others might say and have said Jesus was referring to the generation that was alive when Israel became a nation in 1948. And that was the position of Hal Lindsey. How many of you bought Hal Lindsey's book back in the day? Any Hal Lindsey folks? Yeah, a few hands going up. Hal Lindsey, who wrote a book entitled The Late Great Planet Earth in 1970. Now, he correctly understood the reestablishment of Israel in 1948 was the budding of the fig tree, but he took the word generation to mean 40 years. In the Bible, genealogical lists often are divided into generations of 40-year increments. So, not a bad interpretation. So, Hal Lindsey, he assumed generation here in the New Testament, used by Christ, to be 40 years. So, he added 40 years to 1948, and he predicted what, guys? He predicted Jesus would return to earth before 1988. Well, what's today? 2023? Jesus didn't make it, did he? He didn't come back. Some of you might recall that Edgar Wisenant, a NASA engineer turned prophecy teacher, he wrote a booklet in 1988 entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 88. Well, no rapture, huh? No rapture in 88, so he followed that first book. I love it. He followed that first book the next year with 89 reasons why the rapture will happen in 89. Now, these errors are based on the misinterpretation of the word generation, all right? The word Jesus used for generation is the Greek word genai. Jesus was not talking about a time period. He was talking about a people group. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus predicted the Jews would be scattered to all nations and that Israel would be destroyed, yet he said the Jews would maintain their ethnic identity. Now, you can go over there today, and you're not going to find me a Moabite. Oh, you look all day long. You can hire the best private investigators. You can dig through the genealogical base. And you may find me some Moabite genes and some genealogy, but you're not going to find me the nation of Moabite. You're not going to find me the Jebusites, Oh, you look high and low. You can dig it all up, but you're not going to find no Jebusites, nor will you find me some Philistines. They're all gone. But let me tell you what you will find. You can find plenty of Israelites. You can go parts of Houston and find Israelites. There's Israelites living among us here. Israelites. The miracle of the Jewish people is that they did not pass away while Jerusalem was enduring 1,900 years of Gentile control. Now, in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 21, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. In the parallel passage of Luke 21, Jesus made this clear when he predicted in Luke chapter 21, verse 24. He says, "And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles." This is what Luke says on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "Underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Recording Christ's words. Now, you know what a Gentile is, don't you? Yeah. A Gentile is anyone who is not a Jew. So that's me and you today, right? And history records that the Gentiles were in control of Jerusalem until that great year again, when your pastor was born, in 1967. Now, let me give you the rundown because it's quite interesting. The history of Jerusalem over the last 2,000 years. This will take me about 30 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. This will take me about 2 minutes to get through. But you need to listen to this and appreciate it. From 70 A.D. until about 637, who controlled Jerusalem? The Romans controlled Jerusalem. The last 300 years of that rule is called the Byzantine period because of the influence of the Greek Orthodox faith based in a place called Constantinople, beautiful city. And of course, they were Gentiles. During this period, many beautiful, beautiful churches were built in Israel. And then, in 637 AD, the Persian Muslims attacked Jerusalem and they took control. They destroyed every church in Israel except for one. What church do they leave? Well, they left the only church you can go see today, the Church of the Holy Nativity in Bethlehem. Well, preacher, why did they leave that church? That is because Persian soldiers saw a mosaic on the wall of the church depicted the Magi from the east, right? And so the Magi were dressed as Muslims, Persians, so the church was spared. Jerusalem was under Muslim control, I guess. Here in Texas, we say Muslim. You say Muslim. I say Muslim. Potato, potato. You get it? Amen. Tomato, tomato. Jerusalem was under Muslim control until the crusaders from Europe came to liberate the holy sites from the pagan Muslims. Beginning in 1099, for about 200 years, the Christian crusaders had a tenuous control of Jerusalem, but like the Persians, they were Gentiles. 1244, the Egyptian Muslims, called the Mamluks, pushed the last of the crusaders back toward Europe. Then in 1517, the Ottoman Turks took control of Jerusalem, and for the next 400 years during this time, the land deteriorated into poverty and waste. In 1917, near the end of World War I, the Turks lost control of Jerusalem. As the British forces were getting ready to advance on Jerusalem, British General Allenby, say that with me, Allenby, one more time, Allenby, he sent three biplanes flying over the city. From these airplanes, they dropped thousands of leaflets that read in Arabic, "Surrender Jerusalem immediately." General Allenby signed his last name only on the leaflets. So it had that little phrase, and then it had his last name in Arabic, Allenby. The Muslims who had never seen an airplane before in their life thought the name on the leaflet read Allah Bey, which means servant of Allah. So they must have thought the message was from Allah because they put down their firearms, they put down their weapons, they surrendered Jerusalem to the British without one shot being fired. During the War of Jewish Independence in 1947, the British put up token resistance to the Israeli freedom fighters, but when the nation was established in 1948, they deserted Jerusalem. So some of you have lived long enough that you will remember Jerusalem became part of the West Bank, and Jerusalem was under Jordanian control from 1948 until 1967. But on June 7th, 1967, during the Six-Day War, 6 days, Israel gained control of Jerusalem for the first time. For the first time, church. The hairs on the back of my neck are standing up at attention. For over the first time in almost 1,800 years. Do you know what the very first thing the Jews did? Well, preacher, I'm sure they popped the bubbly and had a huge party. That's not what they did. The soldiers that were victorious after that six-day war, they immediately went to the western wall of the temple. And they began to weep and pray. The Jews call it the western wall. Most everybody else in the world calls it the wailing wall. Jerusalem was no longer under control of Gentiles. And in 1980, Jerusalem was declared the capital city of Israel. And then under President Donald Trump's administration, the U.S. Embassy was opened in Jerusalem on May 14th, 2018, the 70th Gregorian anniversary of the creation of the modern state of Israel. I tell you all this today so you can pinch yourself and wake up. You are living, you are living in a time of fulfilled prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy. The survival of the Jewish people is a miracle that ranks right up there with the parting of the Red Sea. Throughout the century, friend, if you've not studied it, let me try to catch you up. The devil has tried to destroy the Jews. Pharaoh was the first to try to kill them by killing the male babies born, the Hebrew babies. Then the Romans tried to rid the world of the Jews. And then in our own recent history, Adolf Hitler conspired to kill millions of Jews. What I've shared with you, he did, but he didn't get them all, did he? But what I've shared with you from Israel's history is because the fig tree has budded and the Gentiles are no longer in control of Jerusalem, which lines right up with what we've read in Matthew's gospel. Which leaves me with one last point for you today. And that's this. Build your life. Here we are at the beginning of 2023. Build your life on God's Word. And share the good news with people who need Jesus. Verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, what's it say? Will not pass away. Everything around us is temporary, you know it? Everything. Everything around us is temporary. But Jesus claimed His word would exist forever. When this old world has turned to dust from fire, and the stars have been plucked from their orbits in the sky, God's Word, the Bible, will still exist. Now, some of you know, if you're not, I'll kind of try to catch you up. Your pastor was sick for about a month with some kind of stomach illness. And in the midst of being sick, not being able to eat, still trying to put my weight back on. That's a neat problem to have, isn't it? Trying to put weight on. I'm sorry, that's just how my metabolism works, man. I'm trying to put weight on. In the midst of this stomach illness, you can ask my wife. I mean, I'm a nut already to live with, but I got a little bit nuttier these last previous weeks. Because why? I became hyper aware that foods and medicine have expiration dates on them. So, man, I gave it the smell test. I gave it the looky-look test. And then I looked at the date. And if them things all didn't turn out good, I ain't putting that in my mouth. That's going in the trash. Oh, you set them leftovers out? How long them leftovers out? Oh, that's too long. Them leftovers got to go in the fridge. Well, we're letting leftovers cool off, Dad. Oh, no. Those are going in the trash. Dad, that's good food. Going in the trash. See ya. Right? Yeah. Stevie's like, oh, I'm so glad he's better. But he's still difficult to live with, right? Or sometimes food products will have this best if used before date. I won't even use it. If it's after the best before used, I don't want the second best. I want the best. So that's gone, right? Now, how many of you like writing in your Bible? I got anybody like writing in their Bible? I got a few people. All right. I want you to go to the back of your Bible somewhere in the fly leaf. Get on back there. I want you to take your favorite pen, whatever you got, and I want you to write for me right now. Write for me right now. Expiration date, colon. Expiration date, colon, and then write never. Will you do that? Expiration date, never. The Bible has no expiration date. But let me tell you what it does have. It does have a best if used before date. It has a best if used before date. You should also write in your fly leaf in the back of your Bible, best if used before I die or before Jesus returns. Write that. Best if used before I die or before Jesus returns. Now, as we close it out here this morning, each of us physically has an expiration date. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Let me clue you in. The Bible will not do you any good after you die, or after Jesus returns, or after He raptures you home. So you had better what now? You had better read it now. You had better study it now. And my dear friend, you better live it now. Obey it. As our world becomes more and more unstable, I mean, just going back to that Harper's little excerpt that I read to you from 1857. Politics. My soul. I tell you what, Barack Obama and George Bush, second George Bush, I bet they're thinking, well, we took care of our top secret documents, right? You have a sitting president come out and scold a former president for having top secret documents in his residence. And then not just in one place, but in two places, the sitting president had what? Top secret documents lying around. It blows my livid mind. You need to thank the Lord each and every day that we have a country. I mean, we got people at the very top of the government. They cannot even keep up with top secret documents. You would think that there would be some kind of a checkout card for that. Hey, I need these three files. Well, sir, do you have your card? Oh yeah, hold on, I have my card. Here it is. And you hand it to him. All right, sir, you have these documents for the next 14 days. They need to be back here promptly, or we're going to be notifying your office. I mean, we're the greatest nation in the world. We're going to be notifying your office and sir, if you don't turn these in, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, if you don't turn these in, we can't give you any more documents, right? You give back, you get more, right? You don't give back, you don't get any. As our world becomes more unstable, North Korea, as our world becomes more unstable, Soviet Union, Russia, as our world becomes more unstable, China, as our world, we need something permanent upon that we can base our lives on. Well, friend, God's Word stands forever. There are only two things in this world that are eternal, maybe three. The souls of men and women and the Word of God. What's the third one? Maybe some special dogs and cats. I don't know, right? But I want to think that. But I know for sure that the souls of men and women and the Word of God. So if you want your life to matter for eternity, don't sit around. Don't sit around waiting for Jesus to return. Don't agree with all the doom and gloomers on all the TV stations and all the radio stations and all the garbage on the internet. Instead, you keep your focus on Jesus and His Word. And you get busy and you invest your life in the Bible and you reach people for Jesus. So if you've been waiting to talk to a friend, if you've been waiting to communicate to that loved one or that coworker, that neighbor, that acquaintance, if you've been waiting to talk to them about the Lord, don't put it off any longer. You talk to them. Amen? So we bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word today. We're thankful that we can get back in to the Gospel of Matthew as we try to finish up this Gospel, preaching through it as we seek to go through it paragraph by paragraph, Lord, touching on the high points, trying to get out some of the themes, squeezing out the application for daily life. Lord, we're thankful for it. We're thankful for Your Word. Lord, I pray that this church, as we sang about today, as we were challenged with today, I pray we'll take Your Word out of here. And Lord, we'll have it high in our hearts. We'll have it quick in our minds. And Lord, we'll allow it to come out of us in our actions and how we work and how we talk and our attitudes. And Lord, most specifically, we would let it come out in our love, in our concern for our fellow man, our fellow woman, as we seek to sow the seeds of the gospel in their lives and in their hearts, not for our glory, but for Your glory. Lord, we seek to live and serve until You come for Your glory. So, Father God, thank You for the opportunity to be a part of what You're doing. Thank You for the great privilege it is to be a part of the church, to be a part of the elect, part of the saved. Father God, we're so thankful that when our hearts were pricked, that we said yes to Jesus. We chose salvation. We received the gospel. So, Lord, we pray that for others. We pray that You would use us as an instrument to bring those to a saving knowledge of Yourself. Thank You, Lord, that we can finish it up thinking about that and thinking in that way. Lord, when we close this prayer time and we stand together, there may be some that need to come to this altar and pray for that lost friend or that lost acquaintance or that lost family member, whatever it may be. Lord, may we find peace down here. May we find strength down here in the altar. May we find that courage that we need to take that next step of really sowing that word in their heart. Thank You, Jesus, for how You use us and how You direct us. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. I'll invite you to stand all over the sanctuary as Brother Jeremiah leads us in this time of invitation. I'm down front. If you need me for prayer, the altars are open. If you need to get saved, you come today. Amen, amen. All right, well, we'll be dismissed. We'll see some of you back here tonight as we continue on in our series of messages on the book of Leviticus. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen? All right, all right. Enjoy this beautiful weather, right? Raise your windows, breathe in some of that fresh air, and know that the Lord is good and He's with you. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we close this time. Lord, we thank You. Give us safety as we depart this place, Lord. May we be on mission as we leave this place for You. Thank You, God, for Your encouraging words today. Thank You for the assurance and the affirmation that we have from the very words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew that we are in that season when Christ could rapture His church anytime, any moment, and usher in the events that would bring about Your Jesus, Your second coming. So, Lord, we praise You today. Thank You for not forgetting us. Thank You for keeping us for all eternity. And thank You once more for our salvation that we have in You. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Sweet.